Wow, okay, so learning Audacity is super fun. I have a relatively inexpensive mic. I don't know how good it is. And again, not an editor. But welcome back. This has kind of been in the back of my head, so to speak, and where I'm going to go off, not really on a tangent, but more of a less, is it possible to escape the walled garden of proprietary software? How do you escape the walled garden of proprietary software? And most importantly, what apps I use, what you should use, and a lot of resources I'm going to compile in the notes to kind of explore different ideas and more or less different alternatives to essentially what you're using. There is a website I use called Alternative 2. It's amazing. I discovered it by accident when I was looking for alternative to XYZ. It tells you if it's free and open source. It tells you if it's proprietary. It tells you if it's paid for, if it's freemium proprietary. It gives you a lot of information essentially on different applications that you use. And that's, in my opinion, what's really important. Also, to be able to help people essentially reach their free and open source soft goals, but also be less dependent on a lot of these big tech companies that not only harvest and collect your data, but most importantly, be resilient against it. A big issue that I think that a lot of people don't bring up is when services ask for a subscription fee, you put all your data and all of your eggs in one basket, kind of, you essentially must rely that this company is going to exist until you die. That's not something that you can ever know. There's tons of companies, hundreds of companies that have lived and died within just a couple of years because they go off the hype train, maybe they didn't manage their money well, or even worse, they do get acquired by a bigger, worse company, which does happen quite often, where this company is struggling financially, they get bought by a worse company. And then they sell your data to them, and then they sell it to the back end to twice the amount of data brokers they have over there. This happened with 23andMe, and first off, I would never trust or ever put my DNA in any of these fucking platforms, even if they paid me and they ensured that my DNA wasn't being sold off or it was quote unquote anonymized. I don't think you can anonymize your fucking DNA. Not an expert, but it just doesn't seem like that is a real thing. And security is always the last thought in every single company, unless you're a security company, hopefully. But these big tech companies put that, oh, this is a net loss. I'm not going to put any money into my security. Why would I do that? I don't see a return, and that needs to stop. But minus the tangent, essentially, when I first started using Linux, I didn't have a lot of alternatives, and I'm going to break this down into relatively the most common used apps, I guess. I believe that local non-internet connected apps are obviously going to be the gold standard and what you should look for, because then as long as it's free and open source and somebody out there is maintaining it, you're generally good. This is why I always advocate, I'm not against the money part. Donate to your free and open source software developers. They are doing work well beyond our imagination for free. And I think it's one of the most altruistic things you can do. Donate to them if you can, if you have the monies, and make sure that you also spread the word. You don't even have to donate with just money. You can donate with time, contributing to bugs, code, translating. Translating's huge. That's another thing that I think people overlook. To be able to translate the app to people that may not be able to use this is amazing. I think that another benefit to localization is if the company goes out of business, you are fucked. If the maintainer goes AWOL, they can just hand this off to somebody that is willing to maintain it. There are other ways to sponsor. There's LibrePay, Monero. GitHub has a way to like donate, Open Collective. And again, I'll leave all that in the show notes so that you can go donate to your favorite free and open source software on a monthly basis. Instead of sending money to Netflix, hand it to the most based developers that you can find. Now, gold standard, I kind of have like level 1, 2, and 3 in my head. Coming from like where I came from, there wasn't this much information on alternatives, and most of them suck. Like, sucked really bad. I was like, let me find this and find an alternative to this. And I'm like, this isn't good. And I'm not obviously going to cover every single thing. That would be impossible. I'm going to just cover what can I find and what can I do. Like, what can I find and, like, what can I do that, like, the average person uses? First, I'm going to start with the most normie, simple thing that I think a lot of people use, and it's SnapTick. It is an ad-free task management system with built-in Pomodoro timer, and it'll help you organize your day, like, your daily plans. It's great. I've used it. I've been using it for quite some time. It's relatively new. So, obviously, take anything I say with a grain of salt. It's been around since, I don't even know. It was February 2023. So, it's not, like, super old, but it's not super new. I like it. It's clean. I do all my tasks. To-do list through it, all my notes and everything for task. I separate this. I'm a separator. I separate stuff in blocks to manage everything. This is for all of like my groceries I gotta buy, stuff like that. It's ad free. It's no registration required. It has dark mode, which is based already. I mean, it's pretty awesome. And it's free and open source. It offers essential features like task creation, editing, prioritization built in. It has a little, like, I think, streak. I don't really care about the streak. But it is privacy. In my opinion, I think because it's offline and it doesn't require internet access, that's as private as you get. Syncing stuff, like for like notes. I'll get to notes in a minute. We can have a note war until the end of time. Everyone thinks that, like, my notes are better than yours. I think sync thing is the de facto standard. It's free. It's open source. You can sync everything. It's decentralized. Your data is yours. You can actually get away from the public servers and just make it all local. There is a way to do it. It's portable. It's mesh network. It works offline. File versioning. No registration. Ad-free. End-to-end encrypted. And folder syncing. I use it. Everyone should use it. It's probably the best tool that you could ask for. I honestly don't know any other better one, especially when it comes to syncing. A lot of people don't realize that syncing is super important, and I think they're kind of just used to it, and I believe that this is the best self-hosted option that we have today. Don't know like a good alternative. or a competitor, really, that's free, open source, and not absolute dog shit. For me, I like to do photography. I like to take pictures in my spare time. I do, like, a lot of landscape stuff. I shoot in RAW because I'm retarded, and I like to eat up my storage for no reason. Even though I'm very, like, light editor, like, light edit, like, I hate editing, I hate it. It's such a boring concept, and I would rather kill myself than ever edit anything for a living. Lightzone is what I found when I was on my first free and open source journey. I don't know what drew me to it. I think it was the most appealing and the easiest to use. I can't get away from it. I'm kind of walled gardened into the light zone, even though there is none. It's awesome. I don't think there's a good alternative for it. This is my personal take. But if you're looking for a good photo editor, there's Photopea. Photopea, this is like my suggestion. Photopea and you have GIMP. GIMP is like a really popular editor. Like, I don't really care for GIMP. I thought it looked like shit, and I kind of hate it. I still hate it. I've never used it beyond the couple, like the week I used it. There's Krita. It says professional free and open source program. It's made by artists. I want to see affordable tools for everyone, which I agree. Fuck Adobe. Adobe can eat a big fat sack of cocks. And there's no other really good option. Like I said, alternative two is going to be your go-to. Like, you can look over stuff and be like, hey, this looks good. This looks like it's worth it. Photopea is freemium. It is proprietary. It is not free and open source. I have to make that disclaimer. But it is web-based, and they have the best straightforward privacy policy. Very straight. Very clean. You can be retarded and read it. Now, some people complained about the paid part. This sounds crazy. I would rather them charge something and have money to function as a company and maintain it. It's not that crazy. People need to get away from the idea of free as in free of cost. I use the word free as in freedom, that it respects my privacy, that it respects the ideas that I put into it, and it does not share with shit companies, aka data brokers. That is generally my stance. This is the cool part. Account, not needed. Now nothing will be saved. And they give you P drive of, if you want an account, they give you a P drive of 0.5 gigs for free. Half a gig, a P drive just sounds absolutely insane. And then they have a one-time fee, no subscription. It looks like a subscription, but it's not. For $1,000, you get a whole year, a team of 50. For a single person, for a whole year, $50. $50. The same cost as Adobe Suite, sure, but it's not gonna fucking put you in a subscription. They suck. Adobe sucks, and also when you get ads on the site. They gotta make their money. I get it. Their TOS, super simple. They explain what they grab, they explain what they don't grab, they explain what they retain. Honestly, probably the easiest privacy policy I've ever read in my entire life. And I've read a couple where they're terrible. Let me rephrase that. Just kidding. Adobe's like $50 a month. And for $50 a year, you get a better deal from a relatively, hopefully respectable company that also respects your privacy. to break them down very simple. They process everything on your local machine. And this is kind of like a pro and a con. Yes, it's a pro because nothing leaves your local machine. A con is if you don't have an account, stuff will not be saved. Now, you can self-host this as well. They do have a price for it, and they tell you what their update model is, and etc., etc. That is just another option. If you want to self-host it, and you want to localize it, and you don't want to rely on a web browser, maybe you have a huge team, and you're just like, nah, we kind of like PhotoPea. We just kind of want to use it on-prem. That is an option. You know, this is the beauty of free and open source software is it allows you to do these things. Most important, one of the most important aspects to your security is a password manager. This is going to be kind of like my very short dad talk. You suck at making passwords. They all suck. Every password you've ever made in your entire life is dog shit. And it will never be good. You do not need to remember them. You don't need to rotate your passwords. I'm looking at you, Grandma. It is unneeded. The best password manager is any password manager that you feel that is comfortable. You like something that you like using. If you want to use Google Password Manager, be my fucking guest. If you don't want to use Google Password Manager, which would be probably the best option, be my guest. I would rather hear somebody say they use Google Password Manager than ever say they make their own passwords. If you're worried about the cloud, I suggest you go read on how a lot of these password managers work. Bitwarden doesn't store anything in the cloud. It just uses it to sync, and you can self-host it. It is not a security feature, by the way. The developers have said this over time and time and again. Self-hosting a password manager is not a security feature. That is that simple. Pick your favorite one. It doesn't matter. As long as you trust them and they've been verified and they... Actually, it does matter. Don't use... which is that one? LastPass? I think that's the one that had a very shit history. There's so many password managers out there. There's something called Ice Cream Password Manager. It doesn't even make sense. There's Universal Password Manager. It's free and open source. There's a Wallet Password Manager. Dual Safe Password Manager. What does that even mean? Free and proprietary, which I wouldn't fucking trust that. Actually, if their software is proprietary, but the encryption they use is open source, that's fine. You know, some companies have a model where they think that this is how they need to make money is by making XYZ proprietary, whatever. There's Bitwarden. There's Passbull. There's KeePass. There's so many options out there. Just pick one. Do your research. Pick one. If you're really, 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 really paranoid, KeePass is fine. With SyncThing and KeePass, you can essentially escape the botnet and be super offline. That if you want to be like super offline, KeePass with SyncThing, and you'll be fine. And you can sync everything over your favorite cloud storage, which we'll get to at some other point. At some point later in the video, we'll talk about that. There's Locker Password Manager. It's a security first digital vault. It's paid. It's open source, if that matters. There's so many options. Just get a fucking password manager. If you can take anything from this, quit making your own passwords. Quit doing password rotations. Just get your own password manager. There's 2FA as well. I'm going to lump these together. My password manager that I use Bitwarden. They're great. I don't care about the fucking drama that's going on right now. I've thought about doing Passbull for a minute. But I was like, nah. And then pass key, pat, Bitwarden, not Bitwarden, Proton's password manager. And I was like, nah, I don't want to, in case they ever get, in case anything happens to Proton, I'm good. I would be very upset. That's just like my opinion. My authenticator, I use Aegis. Aegis is great. It's open source. It's free. It's got backup. As long I have very little requirements when it comes to free and open source software. Do they allow me to back up all my data and exit to another company? If they do that, that is a plus. That is a gold star for me. Do they allow me to easily move? Aegis allows me to move. Bitwarden allows me to move. Authy can go fuck itself. It doesn't fuck Authy. I would never tell anyone to use Authy. I have a YubiKey too. I think YubiKey's kind of dog shit on their firmware option. You have to buy a new key to get the firmware updates. Kind of, that's a personal take. I think that's kind of retarded. But there's, I wish I would have went with the Nitro key, but whatever. You know. I understand that the implication of it is not as deep as everyone makes it out to be. It would have to be, they have to do extreme. There's NT, there's passkey directory, there's 2FA, there's MFA auth. There's so many authenticators up, just pick one. There's tofu for iPhone if you're an iPhone user, unfortunately. Pick everything but Authy. Fuck that. I just don't like that they have an easy way to exit. Any company that makes it hard to exit from their ecosystem can go fuck themselves, by the way. So, minus my short burst of anger rant on that aspect, get a password manager. We're gonna simplify this real quick. Password manager, two-factor authentication option. Pick those two. Out of anything I have I've ever any advice I give anyone, if you can pick those two, respect. Because I think that is the number one thing at a good way of defense of protecting your data and who you are and your identity is good password managers. We have tons of hacks. Jeez. Constantly. If you were going to the news, you'd be sick and you'd get off the internet. You wouldn't even want to be on the internet. You'd be like, my stuff isn't safe. No, your stuff is safe when you're not retarded and you make a password manager. This is something that, like, to my core. If I could drive anything into it. Password manager, two-factor authentication. And then make your password manager, make sure it has 2FA on it, and pick a relatively good passphrase. You do those things, you're golden. Kind of. You're a step above everyone else. Even Apple has a built-in password manager now. All right, end rant on that. So we're at PhotoP, Lightzone, excellent. If you GIMP, if you love hurting yourself, I think those are. I don't think people edit that much for that to be like a main factor, but those are people that do like editing. GrapheneOS has a built-in editor in their Photos app now. It's okay. It works. There's some FOSS mobile applications that I use a lot. Notes. Notes. Notes, 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 notes. Everyone's got notes. Everyone fucking uses notes. If you're in college, you use notes. I know people are Obsidian fans. I tried it. I didn't care for it. It's okay. It's whatever. My favorite is LogSec. LogSec. LogSec is great. It works. It's amazing. It's free. It's open source. If you need syncing, I use SyncThing for everything. I literally use SyncThing for everything. Back to that. They have an option where you can pay for it. You can pay for the syncing. It's like $5 a month. So that they can pay for the servers probably. And get a little money. ThinkFact. It's very close. To me, it's very close to Obsidian, but less ugly. I just don't like Obsidian. I used it for a couple months. I use it here now, like maybe once in a great while when LogSec isn't around. There was some issues with LogSec with their, like, where data would just delete itself. I don't know if that's a, it hasn't happened to me. Don't know. I have it on all my devices. I sync it all with sync thing. Super simple, very easy, and I make backups routinely. And we're gonna get to backups. Don't worry. That'd be very silly for me to care. So, to recap real quick, LogSec is my choice. Find something that is your choice. Now, if you want something like that, you can use Obsidian. Obsidian is great. I was a Joplin user for a very long time. Joplin's great. I do not care to self-host my notes app anymore. I don't have a need. I thought there was a need to self-host every, oh my God. I self-host everything you could think of. Think of it, I self-hosted it at some point, and I was like, oh, this is stupid. How can I simplify this? Wait, I can. And I did. But LogSec is great. It looks clean. It's the color of green. It has a really based website. Very clean. It's got a thinking man. You know, for me, that's it's it, it, it hits all my notes. Pun intended. There is another notes app that I use, but it's irrelevant. It's kind of like I test a lot of stuff, a lot of apps that I come across. I'm like, oh, this looks fun. Let me test it. But if somebody asks me, they're like, hey, what do you use for notes? This is it. LogSec is great. It looks great. It looks clean. It just works. And it, I don't know. It hits every spot. It's awesome. It's got a knowledge graph. It's got page, box references, everything. My thoughts that I come with, this is what I use. Messaging. All right. Signal. Video conference. You can use Signal too. Now, this is another thing I think a lot of people think about. Jitsi. Jitsi is a great alternative. Secure and highly quality meetings. That's, I mean, if you need to do like FaceTiming and everything, Jitsi is great. Some of this stuff you have to like self-host. Like, you're gonna have to get your hands dirty. But that is the point. If self-hosting doesn't have to be a server, and I'm gonna go on a quick rant. If you wanna go spend five, six, $7 on a DigitalOcean or I don't know, like whatever VPS provider that's out there, that is a step closer, in my opinion, to being sovereign and away from big corporations, big tech, where you're so reliant on them. Though I would go the latter, I would go even a step further. I would go get one of these NUC computers or single, what's the word? Compact computers, one of these compact computers. They're like, get them on a Black Friday deal, spend $100 on the storage. You probably don't need as much as like Data Hoarder or me or anyone else. And just do it that way. It's just like start with Portainer's great. Portainer serves most people's needs. Now you have to be reliant on it and you have to make sure you're doing backups. And I mean, you learn as you go. You learn as you go. I started off with a very beefy Dell 10 server, 110C server. A tower server, which is super overkill, power hungry, fucking stupid of me. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot about networking, setting up Proxmox, and self-hosting. I mean, this is where I am today, and I still have a lot to learn. And then I got one of those like desktop. I got like a couple of those desktop computers. I have a Raspberry Pi cluster. I have a couple things that essentially allow me to step away from online services that require me to be there. Unless it's required for me to function in society, I don't really need it. My contacts, my calendar, like I said, I've self-hosted everything almost to like the T. Some stuff I've let go. I'm like, eh, I don't need to do that, or I just don't need the service at all, and I just kind of like drop it entirely. But after that, minus the tangent that I was just going on, Jitsi's great if you need to do that. But let's go to photo management. Photo management is super fun. I use Image on TrueNAS. It is resource intensive. Image is probably the best photo backup solution that I have ever used. I haven't found a better one, personally, at any point. I think it is the best option. I think it is the best use case. I don't think that there is another good option. And that is because it's so clean. It just works. And I don't see a different alternative. I ran Synology's baked-in one for quite a long time. And I just found Image is better. Just like I use, there's a bookmark, man. I self-host my own bookmark manager. I don't have to fucking import or export my bookmarks. You don't have to do all this. But that is, you know, just like stuff like that. Like, I use Portainer to host a certain select of things. And then I use TrueNAS Scale to host a select of other things. And these things correlate and make it very easy for my life. But I also back up my data on a consistent basis. And because that, you know, when a production issue fails, a hard drive fails, an SSD drive fails, something fails, I don't have to worry as much. Because even before I put it in the services, like my link list, I put that on a completely separate like hard drive that I know that I'll make a copy of. Same thing with my contacts and my photos. My photos don't just live in one service, even to self-hosted. I just take them all and I move them somewhere that's appropriate and I think that it's okay. And I move on. Cloud-wise, we'll get that into a second, but I know this is a lot of information like coming at you as a person, but this is how I learned. I was like thinking, I was like, what subscription am I paying? It mainly started with money, but what subscription am I paying? And how can I get away from it? And then it was like, what company is going out of business? And how can I fix that? And here's an example. It's called Killed by Google. And I'm going to leave this in the link. Killed by Google has over 296 services that they fucking killed. And Google's huge. Huge. Think about all the money they dump. They have Google Jamboard. I don't even know what the fuck that is. It was a digital 4K touchscreen whiteboard device allowed to collaborate with Google Workspace services. It was 7 years ago old and it died. Chromecast died in 2024. It got launched in 2013. VPN. Their VPN they only launched 4 years ago. Killed. Dropcam. 2009. It was 15 years old. 15 years old, and if this is yours, done. Pixel Pass. Pixel Pass was a program that allowed users to pay monthly a charge for their Pixel phone and upgrade immediately after 2 years. It died within 2 years. YouTube Stories. Remember YouTube Stories? Grasshopper. Google Cloud to IoT Core. Google. I mean, I could go on forever and ever. There's just tons of stuff that's just, that was an idea by them, and they're just like, nope, we're going to get rid of it. Without even thinking. Maybe they told people about it, but like, people don't pay attention to stuff like this. They just get an email, they're like, whatever. And then it's gone. There's some software that has been discontinued that I used for quite a while to like migrate. And they single software developers have given me a bit more notice, and I've kept up with then Killed by, I'll leave this site in there. So it could be a constant reminder that even big trillion dollar companies can be like, oh, I don't know if we're going to hang on to this. Yeah, you remember Google Plus? That was supposed to be, there was that person that made that song called Fuck Google Plus. They were like, this is the worst idea ever. It's just ass. Another thing, you can combine a lot of these, the things I'm talking about in one app. Nextcloud is amazing. It's a little bit time consuming to set up. They have Nextcloud Pi, which is a little less resource intensive. You still have to remember backup. Have multiple backups. Forget the rules. Don't listen to the fucking retards that are like a 3-2-1 rule. When you are self-hosting, you back up as much as possible. You don't think about 3-2-1. Yeah, that should be the bare minimum, but you back up weekly, monthly, yearly, biannually, as much as you want. Don't listen to them. Have it at two different platforms, two different mediums, 15 different mediums, whatever. If you could only take something out of this rant, back up as much as possible. Because you are your own data center. Think of it like that. You are your own garden. You can escape. You have control. But you control comes with a lot of responsibility. Nextcloud, Portainer. Easy as hell now. Look into them. They have app templates on Portainer, where it's like one click and it's in your house. It's got Ansible, it's got Altalis, it's got AirSonic, it's got AdGuard, it's got AppRise, Archive. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on. Change Detection, Calibre, like, you know, Bitwarden, the Rust version. Voltwarden would be the more correct term. Stuff like that makes it super easy to self-host. So easy that, like, you're like, how did I not do this before? However you want to look at it. Everyone knows about Jellyfin. I use Jellyfin for my media. I just go buy it, I rip it from, like, I buy a DVD, I rip it to my server, and then I watch it. I think that content is something hard to tell people to switch to. They're like, oh, you gotta do this. I don't think that's realistic. It took me probably a couple hours to set up a very automated system on my movie section. I'm not saying don't do it because it's scary and it's a big project or anything. I just don't think people care. They're like, I pay $10 and I get unlimited movies. I agree that people should get away from that. Just buy content and own it. But it's increasingly becoming more problematic and hard for people to essentially get away from that perspective. I don't think that is still a good argument. I think I haven't found a reason to explain to someone why they shouldn't. I mean, I get it. If you work a ton of hours and you just want to go watch your movies, it's fine. After it's set, Jellyfin exists, MB exists, definitely good options. Look into them if you want to set them up. They're super easy to set up. Plex servers are even easier. They got ways that you can do that. Just find a way to escape that, I guess. If you have a huge movie collection, it makes it so much easier because then you can just scan it, make them all digital. Especially if you own it, you can just do all that yourself. And you'll thank yourself when you actually own the data. In my opinion. Same thing with, like, calendar. Like, I gotta switch my calendar. Like, I switched over to Edisync. It's encrypted. It's cross-platform. It syncs. And then I use just a standard calendar app that syncs everything all over the place. That makes it easier. Sync thing is gonna be your best friend. Sync thing's great. You can literally sync anything. It's amazing. It's made my life a million times easier. You know, just like Graphene OS, it's made it easier. Probably another, like another, I think another thing that people like, you don't have to really self-host it, but I think Organic Maps is great. It's an offline offline maps. I think that's like something that people need. Navigation, and especially if you run a if you're low data user and you have low amount of data, it's great. Just download everything over Wi-Fi and like all the maps and everything, and you're kind of good. It's not perfect. Nothing is. It'll get better as time goes on, in my opinion. I think that you have to kind of have to take your time. And once you kind of realize like, oh, I can work with this. It's great. I've used it. It's great. It's got its quirks. In my opinion, it's got its issues. But it's so far it's pretty much all I've used. I barely have to touch Google Maps, which is great. And like I said, I'll link that down low. Search. Just find a good search engine, Brave Search. I used to self-host CRX for a long time, but its results kind of shit. So I just use Brave. Brave Search is all right. It works. It's kind of like the best option. There is some other good options out there, but they're kind of far off. Image, like I said, is probably like the one I use the most. My link server that I have all my ink links and etc. Now, this is kind of great. Fresh RSS, a self-host RSS aggregator. That's where I get all my news. Awesome. That's kind of like what I use. I don't use a ton of apps. Like, as I realize, I'm like, I use the browser more than anything. Browser, pick your browser, choose one you love. Private, you know, make it as private as possible. I think that, like, people don't realize that, like, they just go on the internet and browse. And everything's pretty much just a web app at this point. But if it's, like, the core fundamentals, I believe that you're the best. Things that have made me function is my the task simple the task manager for all my tasks, Light Zone, life changing in my opinion, SnapTech, that's what it was, Lunas, someone said Lunastack was good. I don't know. I didn't care for the idea behind it. Browser for pretty much everything else. SpotTube. Ooh, music streaming free, open source. SpotTube is great. I use them a lot, and Ree Music as well. Think that's like the best option. There's FreeTube. There's LibreTube, there's Nuclear, Tubular. Man, they gotta come up with better names. Intertune, Ree Music is great because it's part of a Crescent. Crescent is pretty based. Crescent's kind of like an alternative to the Play Store that's supposed to be secure, more private, and help with updates. It's getting apps slowly as time goes on. Most importantly, ad-free. Because I fucking hate ads. I really do. And that's what I'm saying. Like, go around, like, alternative two. Like, alternative is, like, go on the website, search it, look for it. That's going to be your best option. Because then you can kind of, like, be like, oh, this works. Oh, this works. Oh, this doesn't work. Like, I just don't think that the people, like, do anything crazy now anymore. They're like, I'm going to go on, like, the browser and look at TikTok and like, well, TikTok and XYZ. Alternative to media is kind of hard, again, hard to convince people on. I think PeerTube is great. It reminds me of early YouTube, like 2000s YouTube, that was super fun. But for productivity, it's kind of been like GraphQL is so good it's boring in a sense is what I say, because it's so good at like no, what's the word I'm looking for? Compartment, not compartment. Compartmentalize. There we go. To pretty much everything I need. Like, I have the note app that I found that I like, and this is what I generally say. It's just testing. Testing like apps that work for you is like awesome. It's a learning experience. You're like, well, I'm gonna start with just replacing my regular notes app with a better, more private notes app. Like, start there. Start with, instead of Notion. Notion sucked. I tried Notion. I fucking hated it. Same thing with Safe Notes. I didn't like, not Safe Notes, Standard Notes. I didn't like it. And I don't care that it's getting acquired by, I think, Proton, to help with them sustaining. So I think Proton's great. I just don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. That's a personal choice. But I believe that, like, I'm trying to compartmentalize to where it's like super somewhat functional, and like I'm not super reliant on one company, and I can move and exit when I want. And I'm like, what do I use the most? Like my password manager, like Bitwarden. So like, I pay for them, because I'm like, I use them so much. Find an app you use a lot, like a lot, and just kind of be like, oh, this, I'm gonna find an alternative to this that's more private, more better security, open source, offline hopefully, and see if you can just wing it, like just do it, and you'll kind of figure out what works for you and what doesn't. There's some proprietary apps that like I haven't gotten rid of, or like I use like less and less and less. Some apps that I know is like, they're making it difficult to leave, so I try to kind of like just like become less reliant on them. Stuff like that. And then if I can, I use a PW, Progressive Web App, so it collects this li obviously like my banking apps and stuff like that. Like, you PWAs can kind of come in clutch with certain apps where you don't want them to monitor your location like 24/7. The on my PC desktop, a lot of like app, I mean Linux just comes pre-installed with a lot of apps I use. I mean, just the terminal, like it's great, or if I need a notepad, I have Logstack pretty much installed everywhere. It's the cross-platform and the free and open source, and then Sync Thing. Sync Thing is my probably most used app because I have to make sure it's constantly syncing. It's the this is just it's such a good flow motion for me. It works now, but it didn't in the beginning. It kind of sucked. I was like, oh man, I gotta like do this to get this working. Oh, I forgot to then I wiped out my distro, and I got a lot of my solutions came from issues I ran into. Like I distro hopped for so much that I never kept anything important on my PC. But I'm like, wait a minute, I got a solution for this because I don't want to lose all my links. Is I'm gonna set up on a separate server on a separate place. I'm gonna put a server. I'm gonna host. A link, like a link. It's gotta exist. It can't be just pockets, which is dog shit. Or browser sync, Firefox browser sync, or Brave browser sync. All that. I want to control that. I want to be in control of that myself. So I ended up setting up LinkedIn. It's like a link bookmark manager. And I was like, ah, cool. And I was like, what else can I do? And I ended up doing just other projects. I was like, hey, what else can I self-host? I set up Ubuntu servers so many times that I almost did it from memory. I was like, I know what to do. The thing kind of crashed, and I lost all my links, and I got to re-get them. And this is where I learned how to like back up properly and kind of make sure that I have good. Just learn. I think that's like the point I'm trying to get to. If you do those things, you essentially put yourself in a better position to, when stuff goes bad or wrong or downhill, you're like, ah, I don't have to worry about that. As long as I have internet access and I have access to my local area network, I'm pretty solid. And I think that's the true power, is you get back control. You get back your data. And it's one thing at a time. That is my whole being and perspective, is you don't have to self-host everything. Just self-host what's important to you, where you want less access, more control. If, again, you can take anything at face value from this. Now, to do a final recap, find at least, I ask you to do this as a slight homework, or kind of like a quest. Find one app, one to two apps that you thoroughly enjoy, that are proprietary, paid for, synced by the cloud, whatever. And find an alternative to those apps. And search, seek, and try, attempt to use that instead of your paid proprietary. See if your paid proprietary app lets you migrate. And see if you can escape, not all fully yet, you know, it's going to be a time thing. Escape just a small section of that walled garden. Just, you know, a little leap. Now you're in a bigger garden, but like just a small, you escape that little garden. You kind of are like, oh, this is great. You know, this is liberating. And see what you can start to live without. I challenge anyone who's listened to this far, this 51 minutes into my brain gish galloping through like the internet, the words, and just hopefully I spawn some ideas into people's brain. I challenge you to find something alternative to what you're doing now and see if you can make it work. And until then, I will see you guys on the next rant when I have more ideas. Good night.
Just kidding. By the way, this is like a PSA and something that I think that I forgot to mention, and it's going to extend the video a little bit longer. But the, you know, JK moment, because I was thinking, like, wait, how do people back up, and also how do people have a cloud provider that they can trust? You shouldn't trust any cloud provider in perspective, even if they use whatever encryption model or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the thing is, there's a lot of really good tools out there that you can use. One that I previously talked about is PicoCrypt. There's Cryptomator. I definitely say that if you use a password manager and you generate a password, definitely just encrypt everything before you send it in the cloud if you use that. Because I think that it's good to have a relatively good backup solution. There isn't too many cloud providers that I would even recommend, because you have to put a lot of trust in these industries. I like Proton. I think they're okay. They're good. They're an alternative to Google. And this isn't like me shilling them or anything. Same thing with Tunenota. If you want to use them, they offer like a decent amount of cloud storage. I'm more in it. Advocate for hosting all the personal sensitive stuff locally through TrueNAS. And most importantly, I still encrypt a lot of my stuff even when I put it in my TrueNAS. That's not because I think that I'm being overly paranoid, but if my network ever gets hacked, or if my hard drives ever get compromised, or if they get lost or stolen or whatever, or someone breaks into my house and decides to steal that one thing out of the many of other things, I'm pretty sure that it's safe. I don't think that there is really an estimate, an exaggeration of being overly precautious, especially when it comes to certain photos that you have on there, documents, medical records. Treat everything that like it can, if it can, it will, and it might be able to be compromised. And this is something why I go on a tangent and I extend this perspective beyond this. is to do as much stuff without an internet connection and local pretty much as much as you can only. And as I was sitting in my thinking chair with my thinking cap, I realized that a lot of people just give recommendations, and some people maybe not be able to listen or remember or whatever. I realized that a lot of this information is spread out across the internet. I'm not an expert or anything. I'm just some average guy with a mic that likes to do a lot of research. So I will be putting a lot of the information and resources in the trans the description, the transcript or whatever. But I'm also going to compile like a massive list at some point within the next week or so, if anyone made it this far. And I'm going to put as much information as I can so that people can maybe read over. I'll include like links and alternatives and pretty much it in a good organized PDF format with like a lot of like my own thoughts, my writings, my reasoning. This is the best solution option. I think people need to come to their own conclusion on what they determine that is what is good and what isn't good. But I think it's easier to just open up a file. Hey, this has all the information I need. Obviously, this already exists everywhere else, but if somebody is like just, hey, I just want to know like what alternatives to Gmail there is, and then you know what can I do to protect myself from X, Y, and Z. And I believe that that is the best solution is just having the information in front of you and coming to your own conclusion on what is the most appropriate way to escape these walled gardens, especially when it comes to software. A lot of it is, oh, I gotta migrate. Oh, I gotta do this. Oh, I gotta, you know, it takes time. You don't have to do everything at once, and you shouldn't, because say you go into XYZ. This is why like recommendations are bad in a sense, to a certain degree. I mean, you could look at the bad and everything, but what if this recommendation isn't thoroughly researched and they end up being like a honeypot, or the owner ends up being a massive piece of shit, or they sunset their features, or they close source it, or you know what I mean? There's a list of stuff. You have to just like, oh, I'm not using Signal. I'm using SimpleX now. Oh, wait, the owners of SimpleX are a bunch of pedophiles. I'm good. I'm out. It's, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that is why I think it's good to take recommendations with a grain of salt, but come to your own conclusion. Look at the length of the history of the project. Look at the money that they're getting and how they're self-sustaining. Kind of get a good judge of character of who the developers are, and most importantly, within reason, don't put your eggs all in one basket. I think that is relatively the worst thing you can do. Because if the dominoes fall, then it's kind of a not a good time. Now, this is definitely the end of it, and I will see you guys later. I will eventually have a way to distribute a big complete, not a complete, not an all-in-one solution, but a hopefully compiled list of different software that I personally use, and maybe something that you guys could like look into yourself, links to articles that give just better alternatives and to websites, and more than likely that will be updated within like the next week or so. But awesome, you guys have a good night. I appreciate you listening, and don't forget, I do run a PeerTube server at freedom.foss farmers.company. I have a Discord channel. I am on Odyssey. I have a YouTube channel, and I also have a Matrix room. These are all stuff that I run independently. And if you'd like to migrate away from the botnet, that's a good place to start itself. Have a good night.